Look back in the very first part of this chapter. And Paul talks about there in the first few verses, as I mentioned to you. He said, and you hath he quickened in verse 1. Listen, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You didn't have any peace. You were dead in your sin. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. He said, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. You had no peace. You didn't have a chance. You didn't have hope. You didn't have God. You didn't have anything going for you. Amen. You know what that left you? That left you on the outside looking in. I mean, you're on the outside, man. You're left out. Oh, listen, that means because of our wretchedness, we can see that all we are left out. We're left out of this thing. I mean, there's people over there talking about heaven. There's people over there talking about salvation. There's people over there talking about going to a place of joy. You know where we are? Over in the left out part. We don't have any hope. Oh my goodness, isn't that a terrible place to be? But I want you to know, Paul doesn't leave it there. But thank God, listen. He shows us, secondly, our redemption because that someone came and loved on us. Somebody came and loved on me. Somebody came and they loved on you. And you know what? You didn't deserve it. But look there again in verse number 4. He says, but God. You was on the outside. You did have no hope. You had no chance. You had no peace. You had no place in this thing. You had no promises given to you. But listen to what he says. But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy. How come? He said, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad somebody loved you? Aren't you glad for the day that God said, I love you? How do I know, preacher, that God loved you? Hey, that cross right there says that God loved you. When Jesus went, stretched his arms out on Calvary, when Jesus went and gave his life, when Jesus went and shed his blood, God said, I love you, and I'll show you how much that I love you. Amen? Listen to what Paul says here in these few little verses. First of all, you know how you realize that you've been loved on? Well, first of all, because there's been some blood that was shed. Look there in verses number 13 and following a little bit there. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. There's some shed blood for you. Amen. Aren't you glad that when Jesus took that blood before the Father and he placed it on the mercy seat of heaven, he didn't say, now, Father, I've come and this blood right here is just for the Jewish folk. No, sir. Brother, your Bible tells you right here that that blood was shed for me and for you. That blood was shed to cleanse me and you from our sin. That blood was shed to fulfill that part of John 3:16 where it said, for whosoever will, let him come, thank God. Aren't you glad? Hey, the blood was shed for you. There's some shed blood tonight. And I'll tell you, there's folks today, Brother Ronnie's talking about a little bit this morning, our Sunday school class, we went through a time in history where there was churches and denominations that said, oh, we don't like that old bloody religion. We don't like to hear that. It's offensive. It hurts people's feelings. It makes people think of gore and blood and all that. Can I tell you, friend, it was by the blood that me and you got saved. Amen. I'm telling you over in the book of Hebrews, when Paul writes and it is recorded there, he says over in chapter number 10 that almost all things are purged by the blood. Almost everything. All the things in the Old Testament. Moses went in there. You know what they had the audacity to do? They sprinkled blood on everything. On the instruments and on the altars and on the sacrificial implements. Everything that there was some blood sprinkled on it. Why is that? Because that's what God demands. That was God's directive, was that blood be shed. And aren't you glad the Bible tells me and you that Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's tree? He said, but now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far are made nigh. But he don't just say you're made nigh. He said, by the blood of Christ. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, there's some shed blood. But not only that, because of the shedding of blood, hey, there is some sharing of the blessings. Now, as I said, this thing looks like that it's just for the Jews. I mean, it looks like, as I said, Jesus said when he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When Jesus came, it looked like, Paul even writes it in Romans, doesn't he? That the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But I'm telling you, it looked like everything was set up. Do you know who the Ten Commandments were given to? To the Jew. Do you know who the writing of the laws and the ordinances were given to? To the Jew. It looks like, man, you go on and read in Romans and you'll see that Paul says, you know, what about the Jew? Does it look like they're favored? He said, yeah, it looks like God's favored them. He said, but I want to tell you, thank God all of us are sinners and Christ died for us all. Amen. He shed his blood for every one of us. Amen. I mean, so that we might share the blessings. Look here in verse number 15. Notice what he says. He says, having abolished in his flesh. Now get this. Having abolished, Jesus abolished in his flesh the enmity. That means the contention, the fighting, the war, if you will. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now what does that mean? That means Jesus went to Calvary's cross and he didn't just die for the Jew, but he died for the Gentile also. He died for everybody that's a sinner, and thank God that's all of us, right? I mean, he died for us all, and he says, look, Jesus went and he abolished. Abolished means to get rid of in his flesh, through the cross. In his flesh, the enmity, that is the fighting or the battle or the war. He got rid of that disagreement, if you will, between God and man. He said even the law commandments contain ordinances. Those laws said thou shalt not. Those laws said thou shalt on certain things. And you know what? Men couldn't do it. But you know what Jesus did? He said, Father, I'll go and I'll take care of it. And as he hung there on Calvary's tree, he finished it out. Look over in the book of Colossians, if you will with me. Colossians, not very far over in your Bible. In Colossians chapter number 1, Paul talks about, and look down at, if you will, at verse number 17. And it said, and he is, this is talking about Jesus, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Chapter number 1, verse 17. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the preeminent being in heaven and of the church and of all history, right? He said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross. By him, only by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, Paul emphasizes, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in his body of the flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. What's he say? He said Jesus settled it all when he died on Calvary's tree. He shed that blood, and by that, he gave us some of the shared blessings that everybody thought might just be for the Jews. It was for all of us. Amen? It was for all of us. He says in verse, back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16, that he might reconcile both, that's Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Listen, and he came and he preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. same thing for you that are far off is the same thing that will save them that are nigh. To the Jew up close, to the, all of this going on, and to the Gentile that's afar off, it took the same thing to save me and you. Amen? It took the same thing. It was the shedding of that blood. It shared blessings. And now look what he says you get because of that. Look in verse number 18. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What does that mean? That means, buddy, me and you have a spiritual birth that's the same as anybody else's. Do you know that physical birth is the same for everybody? I don't care if you're over here in the United States. I don't care if you're in China, Korea, Vietnam, Africa, Asia, wherever you are, birth is the same. Can I tell you, spiritual birth is the same way. It's not different for a Jew than it is for a Gentile. It's the same thing. It's by the blood of Christ and coming and accepting Jesus as your Savior. Amen? Listen, it's a spiritual birth. So Paul writes here and says, look, I want you to know, in one way, when you think about it, our wretchedness shows how we were left out. He said, but our redemption is because somebody that loved on us. Boy, aren't you glad God loved on you? I mean, he said, I just love that crowd down there. Listen, I see them sometimes. You know what? I don't love them as much as he does. Amen? You don't love them as much as he does. But can I tell you, even that old rotten, stinking crowd that you and I wouldn't, you know, do anything for, hey, he loves them enough that he wants them to be born again. And he sent Jesus. And boy, I'm telling you, our redemption, our salvation only comes through that fact that somebody loved on us. But then I want you to look at one last thing that he says. He says that you and I have a place now that you and I have a reconciliation and how we are now looked upon. How we're looked upon. After we're reconciled, do you know that we all look the same to God? You're not going to get in heaven one day and God's going to say, now you Jewish folks stay over here and you Gentile. No, there won't be any of that. We'll all be there together. You know, I was talking about this morning over in the book of Revelation, how that John said he saw a crowd, and that number was 10,000 times 10,000, 1,000, 1,000. If you go over in chapter 5, you can read that. And you know what I find out? He didn't say, now here's the black section over here and the yellow section here and the white folks. No, it's just all of us together. And we're all worshiping, and we're all praising, and we're all giving God glory for what he's done for every one of us. If you'll remember, now if you go back and read that, you'll see that John says, I heard him say, thou hast redeemed us. Not only has he redeemed us, he said, out of every kindred, every nation, and every tongue. That means it don't matter what language you speak. It don't matter what place you came from. Don't matter what color your skin is. Don't matter who your mama and your daddy is. Thank God he died for us all and he saves us all in his grace and in his goodness. Amen? So he says, look, here's how this thing is going to be. When you come down to it and you realize your reconciliation. Look what he says here in verse number 19. He said, now therefore. Since all of this is true, now, therefore, or in other words, you could say, so, if you wanted to. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Boy, isn't that good? The other day, I didn't have a passport. But when I came to Jesus, woo, like we sang that song, hey, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Man, I'm telling you, everything's changed. I got my passport. My passport said I'm going to heaven. My passport's been stamped. Everything's approved. My name's written down. I'm headed home one of these days, y'all. Amen. Why is that? It's because now I've trusted that blood. I've received that love. I've been loved on. Oh, before I was outside on the outside looking. I was left out. I was out there in a left field, if you will. But thank God now I'm one of them. Amen. I'm one of his. Oh, listen. And it says here, look. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. But, listen, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Thank God, aren't you glad of that? What are you saying? Well, I'm saying this. First of all, you and I ought to realize that we're no longer foreigners or strangers, but we are fellow citizens with the saints. You know what that means? That means I can go to anybody that's saved and I can say, hey, brother, how are you? Amen. A long time ago, I think it's Bill and Gloria Gaither, I think, they wrote this song that's called The Family of God. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's one of them old ones that's been around for a few days. And in it, it says, you'll notice that we say brother and sister around here. Amen. Isn't that right? That's what we should be saying. I mean, this is not, hey, you're a, you know, this or that or the other. You're a different socioeconomic class. You're a different color. You're a different kind. You're a different, all of that. No, no, no. You notice we say brother and sister around here. Amen? Can I tell you, we've been to a few places through some of these travels. I went over to Mexico, and you know what? Those folks spoke a different language. Those folks look different. Those folks live different. But you know what I called them? Hey, brother, how are you? Woo, hallelujah. Amen? I'm telling you, there's folks over in Israel. They look different. They live different. They spoke differently. But thank God that some of them is still my brother in the Lord. Amen? Hey, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter about it. We're all at one time we were strangers. One time we were foreigners. One time we was away from this thing. But now we've become fellow citizens with the saints of God. What does that mean? That means me and you's going to walk into heaven one day. And brother, it ain't going to be somebody pulling you off to the side. I'll tell you, the ICE folks won't be looking for you in heaven. Amen. Hey, God ain't got no patrol up there trying to, hey, the weeding out's already been done before you get there. Amen. Everybody, there's coming a separating day. There's coming a time of judgment. There's coming a day of death. But everybody that's in there, you walk around and say, hey, brother. Amen. Woo, isn't that good? I mean, listen, you can go find folks like Abraham of old. And you know what? It's Brother Abraham. You go find Moses. Brother Moses, tell me about how you got him through the Red Sea. Amen. Brother Paul, tell me how that Jesus struck you down and changed your life on the road to Damascus. Hey, it's brother and sister. Amen. I mean, I don't care who it is. We'll be there. And now, he said, now, therefore. In other words, so, since all this has happened, we're brothers and sisters. Amen. They ain't no big eyes and little U's and you know, well thought of here and lesser thought of there. I'm telling you, there is none of that in heaven. The only one that's thought the most of, we just read it to you. It said that Christ might have the preeminence in all things. Jesus is the big I and all of us is the little U's. Amen. But we make up the body of Christ. We're his bride and he loves us. Amen. Thank God for that. All right? So he says, look, you're not foreigners. You're not strangers. But now you're a fellow citizen. Second of all, notice what he says. In your reconciliation, you are built upon a foundation of stability. Listen to what he says there in verse number 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What does that mean? That means you and I have the same foundation that's found in this Bible. You and I are built upon the same thing. Those that were saved back years ago were all upon the same foundation. There's only one foundation. Paul talked about that over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. There's just one foundation, and that's Jesus. I mean, that's the only foundation we got. I'm standing on what the Lord said and on what the Lord did. There is no other foundation. Amen? So if you're on that foundation, then you're on the best ground. It's solid. It's not going to shift. It's not going to go out from under you. It's not going to vanish. It's going to be there eternally. And that's what so many people need to realize today. I'm not built, and I'm not founded on the foundation of Baptist doctrine. Don't get me wrong. I am a Baptist. I do believe the Baptist teachings and the stuff that we read from the Bible. I believe the Baptists follow. But I'm just saying, that's not what I'm founded on. I'm founded on Jesus Christ and His teachings. I'm founded on what the Lord said. And sometimes, you know, even if the Baptists don't go along with it, and the Lord said, I'm going to stay with Him. Amen? I'm going to stay with Him. I mean, there's some folks out there, again, that call themselves churches, but you better look at what they say and what they believe and what they think. Because I'm telling you, hey, God's very serious about this thing. We're founded on a solid and a sure foundation, and it's Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, you're a fellow citizen with the saints. You're founded now on a sure foundation. That's part of our reconciliation. We've been made right with God. This is how we are recognized now by God in heaven. And then look, last of all, look what he says. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God takes us as individual pieces or stones, and He builds His church. He fitly frames us together to make a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? We're a sanctuary for Him today. I don't know if I'm on the top row or the bottom row. Maybe somewhere in the middle. I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I just, as long as I get to be part of that building, because I want to be one of those stones that puts it together in such a way that, and it says here, that we come together and we fitly, that means fittingly, that it is proper, that it frames it up together. Oh boy, let me tell you something. Y'all are fooling around at your house looking at stuff. I go in rooms sometimes and I'll look, and you know how people do. Now, I guess now, probably always done it. Do the marble test. Put a marble down, and if that marble rolls one way or the other, your floors ain't straight. Amen? They're crooked. You ever go out? I go outside and look on my porch sometimes, and there's places where water puddles that water shouldn't puddle. You know why? Because that foundation ain't smooth. It's got some dips. It's got some ripples. It's got some spots in it that are not as flat and smooth as I thought they were. Can I tell you, the Lord's foundation is smooth. There's no ripple. There's no turn. There's no hole. There's nothing that's wrong in it. Amen? Hey, don't go home and grab you a square, because you'll run to a corner. You'll say, that looks pretty square. Ooh, I've seen them be out 2 or 3 inches. I've seen floors that, you know, it just killed me. My daddy and Sister Judy, they wanted to put up wallpaper. Somebody shoot me right there, amen. And not just wallpaper, patterned wallpaper. Oh, I'd rather have a whooping. They'd go in there, they'd say, let's put this right here. Well, pretty soon, right here, my pattern would start going. And I say, I need a piece about 3 inches long, because that's as much as it's going to do to match the rest of it. I mean, it'd just get off. Why? Well, I can tell you that house wasn't perfectly straight. And it is so aggravating. You got to match that up. Yeah, well, you do it. Amen. If you think you can, have at her, because it don't work, right? But thank God, aren't you glad this thing's fitly joined together? There is perfection in what the Lord does with me and with you. And He's putting us together. And we're going to build that habitation for the Spirit of God in this life and in the one beyond. Hey, we're a place where God can come and inhabit. And it's a perfect place. Not because of me. Not because of you. But because of Him. Amen. Oh, listen. Aren't you glad we've got something? Oh, before, we were on the outside. We were left out. But now, woohoo, we got loved on. And now, look at how you and I are looked upon. You're looked upon as something that you never were. Something you never were. You're now a saint of God. You're looked upon as somebody that has some things in your life that you are foundationally sound because of the foundation you're on. And you're fitly framed together because of the one that did the work. And it wasn't me and you. Amen? Thank God. Thank God. I was on the outside looking in. But now I'm on the inside and I don't even want to look out. I just want to be with Him. I just want to be with Him. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready.